Isn't that a great truth and song? I think if we really got a hold of that truth tonight, that the one that created everything lives inside of us, as I said, what a humbling truth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a thought. It's really the messages that I've been preaching on David. It's what I'm going to continue to preach tonight. As Pastor read in 1 Samuel chapter number 18 and verse number 28, it says, Saul, and knew that the Lord was with David. The Lord was with him. If you look back in chapter 18, you don't have to, but if you look back in verse number 14, it says, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse number 12, it says that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. Now, I understand that in the Old Testament, things were a little different than they are in the New Testament, but the fact that God was with him, the Lord was with him. Can I tell you, as God's children, the Lord is with us. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He lives in us. That truth in that song, as he was singing that, I was thinking, wow, what a truth. The Lord lives in me. As unworthy as I am, God lives in me. I can't wrap my mind around that, but it's a truth because the Bible says it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a great truth, and thank you, Brother Nick, for singing that song. I want to say this before I get into the message tonight. I've been preaching on David, and if you'll recall, a couple weeks ago, I talked about that David. You know, there was a message I preached some time back about the everyday events of life, how that God just, David was out there, he's a shepherd, he was a son, he was a sibling, he was a servant, but it was just everyday life. And then I talked about how that every now and then there's incidents in life, like 1 Samuel 17, there's the giants that are just big incidents in our lives, right? A lot of life is just everyday stuff, and then every now and then a big incident will happen in your life. And you know, in October is a couple big incidents happened in my life in October. October the 16th, 2005, I got saved. That's a big incident. October the 5th, 2017, I had a young lady that was born into this world and came into my life, and that is little Miss Emery, and today is Emery's 8th birthday. And so I want to say happy birthday to Emery. That was a big deal in my life. That was a milestone event in my life, October the 5th, 2017, because God blessed Meredith and I with Emery, and she is a blessing to us. She's such a sweet girl, and so it's Emery's 8th birthday, and so she's like her mom. She tries to celebrate it all month. She doesn't have a birthday. She has a birth month, right? And she got that from her mom, and so if all my children follow path, we spend half the year celebrating birthdays, right? But anyway, 1 Samuel chapter number 18, 19. Really, we're just looking through the last chapters of 1 Samuel. I challenged you last week, and I don't know if anyone took the challenge, but I challenged you to read 1 Samuel chapter number 18 through chapter number 31, because as we look through these next couple weeks of messages on David, I'm not really going to go verse by verse or chapter by chapter. And I'm telling you, it's hard to do because 1 Samuel is packed with truth, but I just felt as if as I was studying and I was preparing, I just felt like this was the direction that God would have me to go. And so I'm kind of just doing an overview of the ending verses, ending chapters of 1 Samuel, and kind of looking at some things that happened during these years of David's life. These years are known of by many of different titles. Some call it the Wandering Years. Some call it, that was a TV show when I was a kid, the Wonder Years, right? The Wandering Years. Some people call it the Fugitive Years, right? There's all kinds of different names for this period in David's life, but what it is David is being pursued, right? And we looked at that a couple weeks ago, and Pastor read tonight in chapter number 19, verse number 1, where Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. And that's where, where it began, but that's where it really escalated. And from this point forward, David is on the run. David is being pursued. Now, there's some debate about it as how long this pursuit went on. I think it was probably around 10 years, maybe 8 to 10 years that David was running from King Saul, and Saul was seeking his life. And so from 1 Samuel chapter number 19, verse number 1, to 1 Samuel chapter number 31, the last verse of 1 Samuel chapter 31, I believe it's about 10-year period. And during that time, David is being pursued. Saul is seeking his life. In chapter number 20, look at verse number 3. It says, David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. David is living his life in a way in which he believes that there's just but one step between him and death, because Saul is pursuing him. Saul is chasing him. Saul is after him. And as I mentioned last week, I'm glad that even in that time of David's life, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. I'm so glad that even when David was in the cave, even when David was on the run, even when David was in the wrong. And I'm not encouraging being in the wrong tonight, but I do want to mention that again, because as you read, if you go and you read through 1 Samuel 19 to 1 Samuel chapter 31, David does some things that are wrong. Just like you do some things that are wrong. Just like I do some things that are wrong. But yet, in spite of David's wrongdoing, the Lord is with him. And that encourages me, because it helps me to know that in spite of my wrongdoing, and as I said, I'm not encouraging wrongdoing, I'm just saying it's going to happen. And in spite of it, as we heard in song tonight, the Lord lives in me. And the Lord is with me. And the Lord was with David, and God was protecting David during these years of pursuit, in these years of persecution, in these years of wandering and running. The Lord was with him. And I want to look at that again tonight, that the Lord was with David. God was protecting David. You know, I thought about a lot. I'm trying to collect my thoughts here. There's a lot of things I want to say about this. But you, if you'll remember last week, we looked at how that God used people, right? God protected David through people. Aren't you glad God puts people in your path? Aren't you glad that God has put people, as we heard again this morning from our pastor, in the church that will comfort us when we're weak, that will warn us when we're unruly, that will be there to help us when we need help. Thank God for people that God puts in our pathway of life. And as you read through 1 Samuel 19 through 31, you're going to see numerous people, as we saw last week, that God put in David's life to protect him. But tonight I want to look at another way that God protected David. And I want to look at how that God protected David through prayer. Through prayer. If you'll remember last week, I asked you to begin the message, if you were to think about the things that got you to where you are today, how you got to the place that you are, where you're in church on a Sunday night, and some of you have been in church for many years, and through many, as we sing in Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, you've already come. How did you get here? I guarantee you, if you really think about it, there's some people. We heard it again this morning. I don't know if Brother Chris heard it as he was out in the hallway, but Pastor mentioned that there were some people in this auditorium that God had used in Chris's life, in Teresa's life. And God's used people in my life, and God has used people in your life. God uses people. But can I also say God uses prayer? I doubt that many of us or any of us are here without prayer. And I think it's obvious as you look through David's life here that prayer was a huge part of his life. Now, at first glance, if you read this week, and I'm not going to ask you, I asked our teenagers this morning, I challenged them in Sunday school to read the book of Esther, and I asked them how many did, and it was kind of discouraging, so I'm not going to ask you, okay? But I would encourage you to read 1 Samuel 19 through 31. A lot of times, I know how it is, your Bible reading, you think, I don't even know where to read. I'm giving you something to read. Read 1 Samuel 19 through chapter 31. And you know what? At first glance, you're going to say, well, David really didn't pray that much. There's a couple mentions of prayer, and I may mention them tonight, but not many. And you may think, well, how do you get that prayer was a huge part of David's life? I'm going to try to show you tonight. But I do know this. I know that David is also the psalmist that wrote in a psalm. He said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And the Lord will hear my voice. David wrote that psalm that said, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. I believe prayer was a part of David's life. Now, I believe prayer was a part of David's entire life. I believe when David was a shepherd boy out there watching those sheep for his father Jesse, I believe David was praying. I believe David, when he defeated Goliath, he was a man of prayer. I believe while David was wandering in the wilderness, and we're going to see tonight that David was a man of prayer. I believe when David was in the palace, David was a man of prayer. But as all of us are, our prayer lives kind of go up and down. Up and down. If there's a struggle in our life, I would say those that have been saved for some time, if somebody were to ask you what's the biggest struggle in your Christian life, a high percentage would say prayer. A consistent prayer life is my biggest struggle. And I believe that David, during these years of running, was a man of prayer. And I want to show you that tonight. God used prayer in David's life. And so I want to give you a couple prayers that God used in the life of David. In order to do that, I want you to turn to Psalm 59. We're going to be in the Psalms mostly tonight. We may come back to 1 Samuel once or twice, but mainly we're going to be in the Psalms. So if you go to Psalm 59, we're going to see the first prayer that I believe, well, not that I believe, just one of the prayers that David prayed that God used in David's life during these wandering years, during these running years, during these years of being pursued. And that first prayer that I want to look at tonight is prayer of deliverance. David prayed prayers of deliverance. And I could show you many tonight, but for sake of time, we won't look at all of them. But look at Psalm 59. And if you have a Bible that has a heading there, it says, to the chief musician of David. You said, my Bible doesn't say that. Well, that's the way I'm going to read it. When Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. We know when this was. This was in 1 Samuel chapter number 20. We were just at 1 Samuel 20 where Saul told his men to go kill David. At the end of 1 Samuel chapter number 20, David, his wife Michal says, David, my father's going to kill you. You've got to escape. And he escaped out the window. This is that event right there. Psalm 59. The Bible tells us it's when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. And look at what David prays in verse number 1. He says, deliver me from mine enemies. Oh, my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgression nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord of God of hosts, the God of Israel, wake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. And then verse 6, he says, they return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? So David says, God, deliver me. God, defend me. From who? From my enemies. David is praying and asking God to deliver him from his enemies. You know, I thought about this, and I don't want to get outside of the scriptures here. David is talking about literal physical enemies, right? People that are surrounding his house is what the psalm says. They're pursuing David. Now, some of you may say, I have been in a situation like that, where I literally had to pray, God, deliver me from my enemies. They're surrounding me. But I would say that most of us in here tonight have not been in a situation similar to David, where we had actual people that were bloodthirsty, that were surrounding us, that were pursuing us. Maybe some in here that have served in a branch of the military or have been in some situations like that may could say, I've prayed prayers such as that. But most of us have not, probably not prayed a prayer just like that. But how about this? How about the enemies that are out to get you? The enemies of your soul. That's what Saul, I believe, is representing here. Saul is pursuing David. He's out to destroy David. And as I told you last week, you know, we have an enemy that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he's out to get you. And he's out to get me. And he's out to get our children. And have you ever prayed, oh God, deliver me from these wicked men? God, deliver me from this system, this world in which I'm living in. It's on every hand. It's everywhere I look. I mean, that's what David said here in this psalm. He said, deliver me, oh God. Defend me. He said, deliver me from the workers of iniquity. They lie in wait for my soul. They are gathered against me. It's like they're on every hand, everywhere I look. I turn on the television, and there they are. I go to work, and there they are. I go out into public, and there they are. Everywhere I look is the enemy, and he's trying to destroy me. God, deliver me. Deliver me from mine enemies is what David is saying. He's saying they're gathered against me. Look at verse number 6. He said they return at evening. You ever been there? You get up in the morning and you get alone with God and you get in your Bible and you pray and you say, God, I'm going out into a world that's lost, a world that is wicked, and God, I'm going to be surrounded. They're going to be gathered around me. And don't take this wrong if you're lost here tonight or even people outside of the church. I'm not calling everybody that's outside of the church wicked. I'm saying this world system is wicked. This world in which we live in is being run by the prince of the power, the air, the God, the little g God of this world, Satan, that wants to destroy our souls. And every time we go out into this world, that enemy is coming after us, and we get up and we pray and we say, God, help me as I go out today. And you leave your house feeling like, man, I'm doing okay. And then he says, and they return in the evening. There they are again. There it is again. Are you with me? That's my family. That's not the wicked. That's not the evil. Right? I said, there they are again, right? It's not them, right? They're not wicked. But it's like you get on this thing and you just want to see what's going on in the news, and they're gathered around you. Am I the only one that gets on my phone and the wicked are coming after me? The enemy is trying to destroy me. Maybe I'm the only one that way, but I don't think that I am. It's everywhere we go. Every day, the enemy is coming after us, and David is praying, God, deliver me. God, I can't do this on my own. Deliver me from mine enemies, God. And so we see David praying a prayer of deliverance. Go to Psalm 140, if you would. Now, there's some debate about Psalm 140, whether or not this was during David's running from Saul or whether this was in his running from Absalom. Personally, I kind of believe it's his running from Saul, but there's a strong case for both. Either way, it's a prayer of David while he's on the run. It's a prayer of David while he's being pursued. And look at what he says in verse number 1. He says, deliver me. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Now, is that evil man Absalom? Is that evil man Saul? Or is that evil man Satan? I would say in our life that evil man is Satan. Can I tell you, sometimes that evil man is self. We'll get into that here in a minute. He said, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart continually. Are they gathered together for war? They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hit a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Selah. David said, God, everywhere I look, the enemy is setting a trap. On every hand, it's like there's a net for me to get caught in. It's a hunter's term. When he says a net, it's like that net that scoops up that prey. It's that net that has a lure for you to come and grab, and all of a sudden you're trapped. And can I tell you, every single day of our lives, the enemy is out there, and he's trying to lure us into his net because he wants to destroy us. And we've got to pray, Lord, deliver me. God, deliver me from the evil one. God, deliver me from this wicked world in which I'm living in. David is saying, oh, God, I need you to deliver me. And so we see their prayers of deliverance. Look at chapter 42. I mean, 142. I'm sorry. Don't turn that far. I'm going to try to stay right here. There's so many psalms. I'm telling you, it was so hard to narrow it down. There's so many psalms where David is praying prayers like this. Look at Psalm 42. Look at verse number 6. It says, he said, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Look at it. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like, man, this world, it's so strong. The pull from this world is strong. Are you listening, young people, tonight? You're not alone. We may not, us adults may not want to admit it as much, but can I tell you, you're not the only one that's being pulled by this world. You're not the only one being attacked on every hand. We all are. There's an enemy that wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy this church. And we need to pray as David prayed, God, deliver me from the enemy. And so we see it was a prayer of deliverance from the enemy. Not only was it a prayer of deliverance from the enemy, it was a prayer of deliverance from evil. Look at Psalm 141, would you? Psalm 141, look at verse number 3. Well, look at verse 2. He says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Look at this. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. David says, God, not only would you deliver me from the evil that's around me, from the enemies that are without, but he says, God, would you deliver me from the enemy, the evil that's within? God, help me not to say things that I shouldn't say. He said, watch, oh God, put a watch, oh Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. God, I know if I say what I want to say, there's going to be something bad said. God, help me not to say the things I shouldn't say. I prayed that tonight. God, please help me not to say anything I shouldn't say. God, help me only to say the things that you want me to say. Deliver me, God, from the evil that's within. We know where the words from our lips come, right? Jesus told us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. David's saying, God, there's an evil within me, and God, I need you to deliver me. I need you to help me, God, with the evil that's within me. Incline not my heart, that's my inner man, to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. God, don't let me get involved in that lifestyle. Deliver me, God. Man, I mean, this is where we live at, brethren. It reminds me of when Jesus told the model prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, lead us not into temptation. He told his disciples to pray, and he said, pray after this manner, that model prayer. And we know the model prayer. Down near the end, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, don't let me get involved in things that I shouldn't get involved in. God, deliver me from the evil that is around me, that is within me. God, I need you to deliver me. It's a prayer of deliverance
Protect me, God. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul in Romans when he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Paul said, I'm a wretched man. Hey, can I tell you, if the Apostle Paul was a wretched man, so am I. And so are you. And he said, oh God, Paul said, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death, from this evil flesh that I'm carrying around? Who's going to deliver me? And he went on to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I tell you, the only hope we have from the evil that's all around us and the evil that is within us is the Lord be with us. The Lord was with him. And if the Lord is with us, then we can pray, God, deliver me. God, deliver me. So we see David's prayers of deliverance. Number two, we see David's prayers of dependence. Look at Psalm 142, if you would. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison. Do you see the dependence here? David is saying, oh God, I'm dependent on you. God, I'm in trouble. God, my soul is heavy. God, I need you. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And then he went on to say, with my voice, I cried unto the Lord. It's like David really wanted us to know. He said, I cried with my voice. I believe this means David didn't just cry in his heart and his head. I've cried in my heart and my head many times, even today. Not tears, but oh God, help me. But this, it's like David wanted us to know it went beyond that. I'm picturing David at some deep crevice of that cave that he's hiding in. Look at Psalm 142. It says a prayer when he was in the cave. Now, whether this was the cave of Adullam or whether this was the cave in Engedi, I don't know. But David was in a cave when he prayed this prayer. And I believe David found some deep, dark crevice of that cave. And he cried to the Lord with his voice. He said, with my voice I cried unto the Lord. It's as if David got to the place where he literally just cried out, oh God, I need you. Oh God, would you help me? Have you ever been there? I know this is a kind of heavy message, but have you ever been there? Where it was like crying in your heart wasn't even enough. You just had to get somewhere where you could just cry out loud, oh God, help me. Oh God, I'm in a mess. Oh God, if you don't come through, nothing's good gonna happen. God, my child is not gonna live if you don't just step in. God, my marriage isn't gonna make it if you don't step in. God, my child is not gonna come back to church or come back home if you don't get involved. Oh God, I need you. That's what David's doing. It's a prayer of dependence. David has come to the place. We're talking about King David, brethren. I'm going to get done real soon. I've been praying, God, somehow help me to get this message across. We're talking about a man after God's own heart. We're talking about a man that slew Goliath. We're talking about a man that the people were singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. We're talking about a man that's been anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. And here he finds himself in a cave, crying out with his voice, oh God, I need you. God, please step in and do something in my life. It's a prayer of dependence. God, please, he cried unto the Lord. It's an act of humility. I can't do this without you. What humility by King David. God, I need you. And we can look so many other places. Look at Psalm 141. Lord, I cry unto thee. I mean, it's over and over. Verse number, chapter 143, it says a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. I mean, you go through the Psalms and what you're going to find is a man that is humble and he's dependent upon God. He says, I need you, Lord. It reminds me of 1 Peter chapter number 5 in verse number 8. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. That's where David's at. He's in 1 Peter 5:8. He's humbling himself under the mighty hand of God, and he's saying, oh God, I'm casting my cares upon you. God, I'm coming to you as humbly as I know how. Please, God, do something in my situation. There's no doubt as I look across this auditorium, I'm preaching to some people that know what I'm talking about. You've been in a place in your life where you just knew, God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. God, if you don't step in, this situation's going to get me. That's where David was. And he prayed a prayer of dependence. He said, God, I need you. It was a prayer of humility. Can I tell you this? It was a prayer of honesty. Some of our young people are probably thinking, or those of you workers that were with us, we had a prayer retreat a couple weeks ago, and I almost used the outline. I think it fits here. I really do. I think that I could have said that first prayer, that the first prayer for deliverance from his enemies was hopeful. God, I need you to step in. You're going to deliver me. I believe his second prayer from evil was holy. God, please don't let me be wicked from the evil within. God, make me holy. And we talked about being holy in our prayers and being hopeful in our prayers. And then we talked about being humble in our prayers and about being honest in our prayers. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 142. He said, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. You see, David was being honest with God. He poured out his complaint to God. I talked to our young people at our prayer retreat about just being real with God. Sometimes we just put on a front, and it's like we don't want to tell God the truth. Can I tell you tonight, brethren, maybe I could help somebody with this tonight. It's okay to tell God I don't understand. God, I don't understand. I don't know why this is happening, God. I don't know why my child is sick, God. I don't know why, fill in the blank. I don't understand, God. It's okay. David poured out his complaint to God. Can I tell you, but it's important, there's a thin line here. I don't believe David was complaining about God. David was complaining to God. He was pouring his heart out. He was being honest. God, I've tried to do right. I could have killed Saul, but I didn't. I could have took his life when he came in the cave, but God, I didn't. God, I'm trying to do the right thing. God, why is this happening to me? Why has everyone forsaken me? Why am I in this cave? Why am I in this place? He's pouring out his heart before God. He told God what was on his mind. Look over and Psalm 145, look at verse 18. The Bible says this in Psalm 145, another psalm of David. It says, the Lord is nigh, 145. Did I say 45? If I say 45, any 40, I mean one in front of it. Psalm 145, look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Look at it. To all that call upon him in truth. God just wants us to get real with him. God just wants us to be honest with him. God just wants us to tell him the truth. Doesn't it bother you so bad as a parent? I don't know that there's many things that bothers me more than my children lying to me. I tell them all the time, I would rather you tell me the truth and disappoint me than lie to me. And I think that God's saying, hey, you know why? I told our teens when we were at the youth retreat, one of the reasons we won't be honest sometimes is because we don't trust the person we're talking to. That's why we won't be honest. Because we are afraid that they're going to use it against us, or we're afraid they're going to respond the wrong way, and we don't trust them. When we pour out our heart to God and we're honest with God, you know what that's saying? God, I trust you. I don't understand, God, and I trust you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God says, just trust me. You can be honest with me. And so David is praying a prayer of dependence, and it's in humility, it's in honesty. God, David is saying, God, I need you, Lord. I don't understand. He poured out his complaint before the Lord. He showed him his trouble. And so we see it was a prayer of dependence, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to finish. It was not only that. We see David's prayers were prayers of dedication. Look at Psalm 142. Look at verse number 7. I stopped earlier where it said in verse 7, bring my soul out of prison for a reason. Because look at what David says next. He says, that I may praise thy name. David says, God, I want you to deliver me. God, I'm dependent on you. But God, it's not all about me. God, it's all about you. God, I want to praise your name. I want to exalt your name. I want to magnify your name. If you would, turn back to Psalm 59. We're working our way back to where we started. Psalm 59. Psalm 59, look at verse number, let's look at verse 16. You saw verse 1, this is the prayer when he was being surrounded, right, by Saul's people. He said, deliver me from my enemies, O God, defend me. He goes on at the end of that psalm, he says, verse 15, let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. Verse 16, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. David says, God, when you answer this prayer, God, I'm dependent on you. And God, when you deliver me, God, I'm gonna dedicate it to you. I'm gonna praise you. I'm gonna magnify you. I'm gonna tell everybody about you, God. Look at Psalm 57. Psalm 57. It says this is of David, right? When he fled from Saul in the cave, same time period. Look at how it opens up. It's a prayer. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. And then he goes on, and look at what he says in verse number, Verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Look, I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David is saying, God, I just want to pray a prayer of dedication and thanksgiving. You know what's amazing about these prayers? David prayed them while he was in the cave. You understand, he hasn't got delivered yet. I know he understands that. I wasn't looking at him like to tell him to understand it. I was looking for approval, acknowledgement here, right? I was looking for an amen. David is still in the cave, but you know what he's praying? God, I'm so thankful that I know that you're going to deliver me. God, I'm so thankful because I know you. And God, when you deliver me from this enemy, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to tell the world all about you. What a way to pray. It's just like the model prayer. For thine be the glory, right? I'd have to say the whole thing. Are y'all like me? You can't just jump into something right in the middle. Leave me not until deliverance from evil. For thine be the power and the glory. I messed it up. And dominion. You got to think. I said, I'm looking at him again. I'm not, power and the glory. It's forever, right? David, it's like David is praying this prayer. It's almost like he's praying the model prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. God, I'm dependent on you. God, deliver me, God, from temptation. Deliver me from evil. For thine is the glory and the power. It's you, God. It's all about you, God. I want you to do it for your glory, God. I want you to work in this situation for your honor and for your glory. What a way to pray. God, it was a prayer of dedication for our young people that was at the prayer retreat. This would be a heavenly prayer. This would be a heartfelt prayer. God, I just want to thank you. I just want to praise you. I just want to give you the gratitude for what I know you're going to do because I know you. And God, I want it to be for your honor and for your glory. That's a heavenly prayer. Oh, God, do it for your name's sake so that the whole world might know that you are God. It's all through the Psalms. If you read through them, you'll find so many places where David was praying that way, that they might know that the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, that my God is God. God, please do this for your glory and for your honor. And so it's a prayer of deliverance. It's a prayer of dependence. It's a prayer of dedication. And then last, and I'm not even going to preach this, he prays a prayer of direction. I won't have you turn there because I'm going to close. I want to. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 23, that's about the only place you're going to find David praying in those chapters I gave you. I read through it, and I might have missed one or two. I do know in 1 Samuel 22, in verse number 10, when Doeg is telling Saul about Ahimelech, when David went to him, he says that David came to him and inquired of the Lord. That's in chapter 22 when he's telling the story about when David came and got Goliath's sword and got the bread. He says, I was there and David came and he inquired of the Lord. He asked Ahimelech to inquire of the Lord for him. And so that's one time you can say David was praying. As soon as he left, he went on the run. He went down to the temple and he asked for the showbread. He asked for Goliath's sword and he said, hey, would you pray? Would you give me some direction? I don't know what to do. I'm on the run. And then again, in 1 Samuel chapter number 23, David prays a prayer, and the Bible says in verse number 2 and verse number 4 that David inquired of the Lord and says, shall I go? It's talking about Keilah. And David is going to go, and David goes, and he prays, and he says, the Bible says he inquired of the Lord, shall I go? And the men said, no, I don't think it's a good decision in verse number 3. In verse number 4, David went back to God again. He said, God, should I go? And God said, go, David, I'm going to deliver him into your hand. And David went. He prayed for direction. That's some good prayers to pray every day. God, direct me. God, help me. God, protect me. God, deliver me. God, I'm dependent on you. God, whatever you do, I dedicate it to you. It's all about you, God. God, I want you to get the glory for what's done in my life. And I believe that's what David was praying. And that was one of the things that God used in David's life to get him through these years of wondering. Can I tell you, you're here today because of people that God used in your life and because of prayers that you've prayed and God has answered. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, God, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd bless it tonight. I pray you'd use it in our lives, Lord. God, help us, Lord, to be a people of prayer. God, I know that if there's an area in my life that I struggle, God, I'm just being honest before you and the people tonight, God. It's this area of prayer. God, help me, Lord, to depend upon you. God, help me to seek direction from you. God, help me to pray and to praise and to thank and to exalt you. God, please help us in this area of prayer. You can stand to your feet, your heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. She can begin to play. She's here.